Old school Paul, new school Justin. Man, y'all still going to school though. Sit down, listen up. Father, son, y'all think it's just another one. Fade the Vader, they be grading players, all it's done is made the Piper pay me, and they've been grinding lately. Up late, hit the waivers, don't hate the player, hate me. It's just a game boy, never gifted one on Christmas. Instead, I ask for ships to hit everything off my wish list. Check the litmus, do y'all really not get this? Hit this triangular shape button, I don't want you to miss this. But I guess that's really none of my business. Me, risky freak, who's with Pollen, Justin, just listening. Yards after contact and catch, that's a lot of distance. The kind of info make me wanna blow opponents' kisses. But I gotta be clear, there was one key difference. Relationship is deep in this vent of ellipses. Like how Justin agreed to washing all the dishes. I'm just grateful Paul turned the miss into the missus. Father, son, pie, get down on the get down. If you don't get it now, then get out. Father, son, pie, sit down and get rich now. If you're not feeling it now, then get out.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Father Son Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Paul.
My name is Justin. We're here for a redraft episode. We're keeping the redraft episode going because obviously the season's approaching right now. A lot of players are deciding whether or not they want to opt out or not. Patriots seem to be doing a lot of opting out. Patrick Chung today, Hightower, I believe yesterday. So it keeps on going. Interesting to see if any of these positional players for fantasy is going to opt out or not. So I think the deadline is August 3rd, I heard, or maybe this week. I'm not exactly sure. No one really knows, I feel like. But
Marquise Goodwin's probably the biggest name.
On the offense. Jalen Rager, he's a big Jalen Rager fan. Your Twitter, though, is at PaulFSFF. My Twitter's at Justin_FFB. And we're keeping the hot streak going with guests. So people go on YouTube, you may see the fantasy football advice. And we're trying to give you guys advice. And we're here with Nick Zylak from Fantasy Football Advice. What's going on, Nick?
What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Should be fun. Good episode here, I think we got.
Yeah, we got a nice little episode going. Some players that I don't really like, or maybe I do like, we're going to find out. And to kick it off, I mean, the NFL Top 100 list is going off. And this guy cracked in there, Josh Allen, rocket arm himself. I call him the human highlight reel. He's fun to watch, but in my opinion, sucks at football. I mean, I'm not a big fan of watching him. And Nick, we're talking before the show, is a Patriots fan, so I'm curious to your thoughts on Josh Allen. He's currently going as a QB10. What are you going to do with this guy?
Yeah, so I'm also on board with the, like, I mean, I don't think he's all that good in, like, real life football. You know, obviously the accuracy is not fantastic. I think for fantasy though, he's a solid pick. So I actually have him as the quarterback 6, like right ahead of Wilson, actually.
Oh,
just for that rushing. If like, let's say AB went to Seattle, for sure Wilson moves like way up. But right now I have him at 6. One thing, a lot of people like, the accuracy is not good. I never want to be quoted as saying he's accurate, but I think it gets overblown a little bit in fantasy. We don't care that much about it if it's coming with like 600 rushing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns. I think one thing we got to look at is like those rushing touchdowns are coming down from last season, but he's like basically a running back when they get into the red zone. I think he has like a third of the team's carries inside the 20 and in the 10. So I think he's a good pick. My problem is I never end up with him because I'm just never even really looking at quarterback before we get to like the low end starters anyways. So I like where I have him ranked, but I probably won't ever even get him.
Yeah, see, that's why we know you have good guests on the show. When they say, yeah, I like this quarterback, but I'm not going to be touching him, because in one quarterback leagues, you are stupid. I'm going to say it right now. You're stupid to take a top 5 quarterback unless they fall like Lamar Jackson in round 4. Maybe that's intriguing because it's Lamar Jackson. But Josh Allen presents a great fantasy floor with his rushing. But you're not taking one quarterback league. In super flex leagues, which I recommend you switch your league over to or try to, because it just inflates value for the whole league, helps with trades. You can add quarterbacks to trades and have the opportunity to take a guy like Josh Allen who you'd normally pass on. But Dad, QB6, I think that's one of the highest I've seen Josh Allen ranked. I understand. I see it because the rushing floor is there. You're shaking your head. You're not a Josh Allen guy either.
I'm not taking him at 6. Currently, he's going 10th or 11th. There's guys after him that I would love to take. Like Carson Wentz is going after him. Stafford, Daniel Jones, even later
you're
on.
You're so down. High on. Hold on. You have Daniel Jones ahead of Josh Allen? You want
Daniel Jones is going to finish top 10 this year.
Daniel Jones, that's a bold take. I mean, I can obviously see the pathway of Daniel Jones finishing there. However, he's still a question mark.
I'm just saying these are quarterbacks I'd rather take than Josh Allen. Even Phillip Rivers is going to 20th
okay, well,
spot. I would take Phillip Rivers over Josh Allen.
No.
You're going. Listen, that's far down.
Josh Allen finished in the top 10 for fantasy despite having the worst completion percentage of any starting QB.
Oh, yeah, he's awful.
Well,
we already talked about he's awful.
Just like
yeah.
Nick said, his accuracy is terrible, but where he produces in a fantasy is his rushing ability. Now bring
yeah,
in,
and that's not going away for sure.
No, it's not. Yeah. Well, if Singletary plays a full season, I think some of his rushing yardage is going to go down because Singletary was hurt last year. Now you bring in Stephon Diggs, so I think Allen's efficiency is going to improve. The Bills have a fantastic defense. His rushing ability might go down, like I just said, if Singletary can stay healthy all year. But if he can get 500-plus yards and some touchdowns, I think there's no reason why he shouldn't return back to the top 10. The offense have some good weapons. Brown is a deep threat. You got Cole Beasley in a slot, who's been a fantastic slot guy, another guy going late in drafts. And Diggs as a perimeter target.
And Knox, too. They have a decent young tight end. We don't really know what he's going to be, but he's competent for sure.
Definitely is.
Yeah, So, I mean, last year, Singletary only played in 8 games. So, like I said, if he can play a full year, I think that's going to hurt Josh Allen a little bit. But I think Josh Allen's upside for 2020 is great on a team, especially you can get this guy as a late-round QB in 2 QB drafts.
I mean, yeah, late as your number one quarterback, I like the value.
6 is a bold statement. I mean,
it is a little bold. I can see the path right there.
That's a bold statement. Now, Kenny, I mean,
he's got the upside, too. For sure.
Like we just said, his accuracy might go up a little bit with Diggs there, and if he can keep rushing a ball like he did, there's no question he can be in the top 10 again.
Yeah, so I want to mention he actually, if you look at on-target percentage, he was outproducing Lamar Jackson in, like, most areas of the field. I think it was anything further than 10 yards downfield. He was more accurate than Lamar Jackson was. So I think he's not Lamar Jackson in the rushing, but can he have a season that gets closer to like 700-800 rushing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns and has a season like Lamar Jackson? I think he's the closest of any other quarterback, but there's no other quarterback who has that same sort of ceiling.
Yeah, I agree with that, with rushing ability especially. He is the white Mike Vick. You see what he does. He hurls over defenders. He's taking the ball.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He does not care. That's why he's fun to watch. And Football Outsiders has this metric. It's called defense adjusted yards above replacement. It values in like the defenses and gives them more points for doing well against better defenses and whatnot. This dude ranked one spot below Mitch Trubisky in that metric. and that's not
a good stat.
You don't want to be below Mitch Trubisky in anything. That's bad. And that's the water boy, Mitch Trubisky. He's not a good passer at all. Yes, you get Stephon Diggs, who I believe is one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. He's also my favorite player, so maybe it's a little biased and whatnot. But this dude's not accurate, and I don't know if you can get the ball to this guy. You watch, like I said, we were on the Matt McCoy's podcast. I said Josh Allen's the one player in the NFL, one of probably maybe Mahomes also, who has the ability to hit a home run on the football field because that ball's going, 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 and gone. Whenever he throws the ball deep, it's insane. His arm power is there. You mentioned the rushing floor, and he does have a rushing floor. He was second in carries per game, second in red zone carries, and also third in rushing yards per game. However, his role inside the 5-yard line, which is when you get those sneak-ins or those rollouts, design runs, have dipped from 2018 to 2019. In his rookie year, he saw 35.7% of those carries inside the 5 for the team. And then last year was just 27.7%. I expect that trend to continue.
And Zach Moss is there.
Exactly.
I think he's going to steal some of that goal line.
They already
carries.
Said Zach Moss they want to use in the Frank Gore role, which makes it seem like they want to preserve Josh Allen because having your quarterback keep running in from the 5-yard line is going to wear him down. And they see Josh Allen as their franchise quarterback, which is that's not my decision. I would not do that if I was the Bills because this guy is not winning games. So if that rushing share goes down, his touchdown total could get capped, but he does present a nice little floor. I mean, he's the only quarterback, you mentioned Lamar Jackson, he's the only quarterback to rush over 100 yards a game last year outside of Lamar Jackson. So one quarterback at least, I'm not touching him at all. I'm not interested in it. I don't want it. He's in the AFC East. They're the favorites right now to win the AFC East against your Patriots. You mentioned before, Shell, you live in New Hampshire. There's a lot of woods in New Hampshire. And there's a player I like, and it's Bobby Forrest, baby. Bobby Forrest is currently going as the wide receiver 19. Robert Woods, we're fans of Robert Woods. Dad, I want you to kick it off. Wide receiver 19 right now on average. That seems a little too low for me. What's your thoughts on this?
This guy always gets overlooked in fantasy. He has always outproduced his average draft position, and he's going to do it again in 2020. He had another 1,000-yard season. Now with Cooks gone and fewer mouths to feed, Woods was able to achieve good numbers, even with Cooper Kupp beside him the past 3 years, right? The Rams have an explosive offense, a young QB, despite a terrible offensive line. So if that offensive line can protect Goff a little bit more, I think Woods is going to have another fantastic year. So he's going to have more opportunities to capitalize on deep balls. Woods' numbers, besides his touchdowns, are borderline wide receiver one status. Most people get him as a wide receiver two, but if he can get his touchdown numbers up, he could become a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. Kupp operates in a slot and does not have elite speed. Woods has acceleration but not top end speed. And Van Jefferson is great rookie, great route runner, but not.
You're
fast.
Giving us the whole Rams outlook. What are you doing over here? you're giving us Cooper Kupp. You're adding in Van Jefferson.
You got Darrell Henderson.
You got Darrell Henderson there. But
so on that team, we both here at the Father Son love Robert Woods.
Yes, we do love Bobby Forrest. Kupp's going at wide receiver 15. I'd much rather have Woods at his price.
I would rather have Woods
also. I think
also.
Woods outproduces him. Nick, what's your thoughts on Robert Woods this year?
Yeah, I have Woods ranked ahead of Kupp for sure. Awesome. I think one thing you hit on that's really good is Kupp's great in the slot, but that's all he can do. He's fantastic getting open from the slot against zone coverage, but he just can't win on the outside against man. And it seems like they're going to run a lot of two tight end sets, which means they're going to run a lot of plays that only have two receivers, and so there won't be as many slot snaps. And that's just a huge benefit to Woods. And you saw that play out at the end of last season when they went to a lot more of those two wide receiver sets. Kupp was like fourth in points per game over the first half, and then he dropped to like the mid-30s in the second half. And you see Woods do the opposite. He goes up to like the wide receiver 5 or 6 overall in the second half of the season last year, getting like over 11 targets a game just because of how they shifted the offense. And I think that's what's going to happen for the full season this year. So, I mean, wide receiver 19, that's like a crazy good value for him because you can just load up on running backs. Exactly. And then he's just sitting there with a boatload of targets and just a massive ceiling.
Yeah, all
that's
these.
That's a good point Nick said too with the two tight end set. So they only use two tight ends and then two wide receivers. Yeah. So it kind of hurts Cooper Kupp a little bit.
So second half of the year, definitely lean
and
more towards 12 personnel.
They did fantastic with
personnel.
That set too.
They did. Whenever they were trailing, though, they went back to 11 personnel. But still, Woods is the guy that Jared Goff's going to look at. And last season, 2018, going into it, he finished as a top 15 wide receiver because he had touchdowns. Last year, only 3 touchdowns. I mean, positive touchdown regression is almost due for this guy. Yeah. He gets in the end zone a little more. He's easily a top 15 wide receiver. He's going to outpay that draft price. And Nick also mentioned, this is why you go running back early, because you have these wide receivers in here. You have Calvin Ridley going around him. You have Robert Woods, DJ Chark, Terry McLaurin, all these guys who I like a lot this year. It just almost, it's telling you what to do in drafts. It's telling you, get your running backs early, and then you have all these great wide receivers who can easily outproduce their draft slot going later. Also, back-to-back seasons with 130-plus targets. He was 8th in targets last year at 141. Jared Goff, people don't know, he led the league last year in pass attempts. Led the league. And that gets just volume in an offense. You've seen what Sean McVay can do. Their offensive line should be a little bit better than last year. 12th in fantasy points per game. 23.4% target share. 11th in true catch rate. Also, the second most yards after the catch. So not that fast, but he gets the yard after the catch ability. He's also 4th in yards after catch per reception. Easily has top 12 upside, especially with positive touchdown regression. Give this guy 5 touchdowns, go in the middle of the 2 years, he's top 15 easily. So I don't see why he's going wide receiver 19. People want to go to the sexy picks of Calvin Ridley, AJ Brown, who very enticing, but Robert Woods every year gets done, doesn't get the respect he deserves. So I mean, people don't take him. I'm happy taking Robert Woods where he goes in drafts. Now the tougher thing is tight end, because every year people are like, all right, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, I'll get those two early. But this year, I believe there's a case for a third one to be mentioned, and that's Mark Andrews. So the tight end strategy this year, or most years, is usually Travis Kelce, George Kittle. If you don't get one of those guys, just punt it. You're going to be better off, because it's so hard predicting those middle tight end ranges. We're really bad at it. Over year after year after year, you take the tight end 6 at ADP, whoever that may be, and it's really rare he's going to finish where you take him. Like, it's very fluctuating every year.
Yep.
But this year, I think there's three sure bets, and Mark Andrews is that third tight end. So, Nick, do you have Mark Andrews at your tight end three, or do you have him at your tight end four behind Zach Ertz?
No, I have him at three ahead of Ertz.
That's the correct answer right there. Love that. And now, why do you have him three?
Yeah, he's just like, I just think he's incredibly safe. You know, like, I don't see a scenario in where he pulls like an OJ Howard from last season. Like, that's just not really in his range of outcomes, because, I mean, he didn't even play more than half the snaps in like a lot of games. I mean, he did not play that many snaps. I don't ever went above like 57% in a single game. So while the touchdowns will probably come down, they're also probably not just going to stomp everyone. Right, like they dominated teams. They just ran the ball in the second half. They didn't even like play their starters in two or three games in the fourth quarter. That's not going to happen every year. And so when you consider he was also, I think he's just turning 24, so he was doing that at 23. I just think even getting rid of Hurst opens up a few more snaps, a few more targets. Like, there's just no reason not to like him.
Yeah, I mean, people. I'm trying to like imagine like what someone's doing, saying I don't like this guy, because it makes zero sense. Now, if you over here and you say you don't like this guy, then maybe that makes sense because it's you saying this. But I want to know what you think about Mark Andrews.
Look, he was a late round sleeper last year. I mean, yes. He had a solid second season.
Who took him in our home league? Oh, it was me, because I was like, yeah, he's gonna break out this year. And look what happened. He went from
an under radar fantasy player to a fantasy stud. He had 98 targets, 64 catches. But the thing was his huge presence in the red zone, like Nick said. He had 10 touchdowns in the red zone. I mean, that's unheard of. The touchdowns might come back to earth this season. The Ravens were first in points per game, as Nick said. They were blowing everybody out. It's probably not going to happen again this year. They scored a lot of points and just annihilated teams, right? So Andrews should be in line for more targets and receiving yards because, like Nick said, Hurst has gone to Atlanta, which I really love him going to Atlanta. It's a perfect landing spot for him. I think he's going to be Lamar's safety valve again. If his usage goes up and he can continue his touchdowns in the red zone, he could definitely flirt with that tight end number one spot very easily. His overall ceiling is as high as any of the other top two tight ends in the league.
Yeah, we had someone come on. Bold prediction was that Mark Andrews finished as tight end one overall.
Which he could.
He's currently going two spots behind Zach Ertz, which is crazy. He's going
if his
43rd.
Presence stays in that red zone like he did last year, I mean, 10 touchdowns is sick. It's sick.
Well, think about you mentioned they were destroying opponents and running the ball a lot in the fourth quarter, even benching Lamar Jackson sometimes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
This year.
Like, is it going to continue? Because when teams start figuring out what they're doing.
Well, how are you going to figure it out over Zoom?
I don't know.
Figure this out over Zoom. How are you going to stop Lamar Jackson over Zoom? Like, oh,
somebody's
got it.
They're
going to
figure it.
This offense is very hard to stop because you have Lamar Jackson. Once you have a guy who's that dynamic, mm-hmm. who can run the ball, and he can throw the ball better than people thought, too, and he's only going to get better with this, it's going to be interesting to watch. The touchdown total, I'm not worried about it, because if you watch these games, he literally only looks at Mark Andrews in the red zone. And he's like, okay, this guy's going to be open. I'm throwing it to him. And the crazy thing about him is he was 25th among all tight ends in routes run last year, and he was 39th among all tight ends in offensive snap percentage. So they didn't have this guy on the field last year. They were cautious with him because of injuries and whatnot, but he still finished as the tight end 4 overall. So you up this guy's snap share, you up his routes run. Who knows what the ceiling could be with this guy? The only concern I have with the season with COVID and all that is he does have diabetes, so he's at a higher risk with all that stuff. So you got to monitor.
I mean, this definitely is going to be a year of.
It's going to be. No one's going to really know.
No one's going to know what's going to happen this year. So anything can happen. Yeah. Once, if somebody like him with diabetes gets it, I mean, you're done for a couple weeks and.
Yeah, 2 weeks minimum. Just, and for him, who knows how that's going to. So it's interesting to keep an eye on him. So maybe possible avoid, but as price tag, I do like it.
It's definitely
going to
be an interesting fantasy season.
For sure. 2.89 yards per route run last year, which is the second most among tight ends in PFF history. Not even last year. That's in history, which is insane. So give him some more routes run, because this guy gets down the field. I like my points down the field. It makes it a lot better. And as a rookie, he had 2.01 yards per route run, which is the most by any rookie charted according to PFF history as well. It's a trend. This guy does not just do short routes. He gets down the field. He was number one in deep targets last year while only playing those snaps I mentioned. He literally played at least like 300 less routes ran than Travis Kelce and George Kittle. Mm-hmm. Just give him 150 more routes run. then he can easily contest with the top two tight end. I'm not even scared to have him as my number two tight end. I just feel like right now it's kind of hard to put anyone above Kittle and Kelce because they're so good at what they do.
Yeah, I don't think you can move him up to two, but
very close.
Them top four tight ends are right in order, 1 through 4. Yeah. Everyone's going to have the same rankings. Really.
No, people have Ertz at 3. People have
Ertz. Yeah, a lot of people have Ertz at 3.
Yeah, he's going ahead of him right now in drafts at 2, but Mark Andrews also had 3 sprains last year, a foot sprain, then a shoulder sprain, then an ankle sprain, so he's healthy this year. I'm banking on him running more routes, and if they're not crushing opponents, they had the number one game script. They ran the ball the most in the NFL. Yeah. So say they don't have as much positive game script. They have to throw the ball more. That's a win. Like, I'm not even complaining about that. I hope you guys go down a little bit so you have to throw the ball more and give more targets to Mark Andrews. And he's going early fourth round, late third round. So we're going to play this guy or that guy. Say you have a running back and a wide receiver on your team just so you know you don't need positional needs and whatnot. Would you rather have Mark Andrews, Dad, or David Johnson?
If I already have a running back and wide receiver?
Yeah, you already have a running back and wide receiver. You just got to make them drafts.
If I don't get one of the top two tight ends, I'm punting tight end until later on. So
we're saying Mark Andrews has the ability to jump into that next year. Like, he should maybe be included.
I'm still going
to
take a running back.
All right, what about you, Nick?
That's a really tough one. Yeah. So we're in the late third round, I guess we're saying.
Yeah, late
here?
Third round. Say like 311.
Late third round.
311, 312.
Jeez. I'd have to go running
310.
Back.
But yeah, we'll just.
I took David Johnson in this last mock draft I did at 312. So I guess maybe that's my lean, but I honestly don't remember if Andrews was still on the board. I don't think I could fault anyone
for
doing either of those. But if it's my league, I'm probably taking David Johnson.
Yeah. What about Le'Veon Bell or Mark Andrews, Dad? You gotta be quick with it. You're on the clock. Le'Veon Bell, what about you, Nick?
I think it's Andrews there.
Andrews, what about Gordon or back. Mark Andrews?
Gordon.
You're going running backs?
I'm going Gordon as well.
Yeah.
Mark
Andrews or Cooper Kupp?
Mark Andrews.
Oh.
Definitely Andrews.
Mark Andrews or James Conner?
Mark Andrews.
Ooh.
I'm not a big Conner fan.
You have recency bias.
That's really close.
I'm not a Conner fan.
It is very close. These are decisions. I mean, if you're in the back of the third round, you're going to have a pick coming up. So maybe you get both these guys. But let's say... You're not gonna get both these guys. You gotta pick one of them here. So I'm close. I'm probably going to Mark Andrews there as well. And then an interesting one, back to back in the ranks, Mark Andrews or AJ Brown.
That's a tie. AJ Brown.
AJ Brown. What about you, Nick?
I think probably AJ Brown, but I probably don't draft.
The only reason
why I can't take a running back.
Yeah. The only reason why I'm saying that because a lot of them middle round tight ends, so I'm not afraid to pass on Mark Andrews.
But Mark Andrews, I'm saying...
Yeah, I understand.
He very well could be... We're talking next offseason. We're talking about Kelce, Kittle, and Andrews. We're not going to say, possibly Andrews can jump in.
Because
this guy could just be there with them and maybe even finish ahead of Kittle or Kelce. It wouldn't surprise me if he finished ahead of Kittle or Kelce. These are three guys who get target share.
Right.
And Andrews gets downfield. I mean, it's crazy to think that like tight end landscape is changing. This is the year to tight end. So if I don't get one of those three, that's when I'm punting it. But the AJ Brown one's very tough for me because his ceiling is there.
I usually treat Andrews as like a luxury pick.
Yeah.
So like if I do look at running back and wide receiver, and I just don't really care which one I get. Like I don't think there's anyone jumping out to me. Then I take Andrews, but I don't prioritize him because I do know that there are so many tight ends late. Yeah. Yeah. That also do have a lot of upside, maybe not his ceiling, but have a lot of upside. So I'm never forcing Andrews into a lineup.
Right. Yeah. Like if I was to say it this way, I don't think I'm going to pay his draft price.
Yeah.
When there's other talent on the board that you can get and you can get a tight end later.
And the whole diabetes thing, like, I mean, you got to kind of put that in the back of your mind. Like, players are going to get COVID. You don't know who. Mm-hmm. And it's like basically throwing a dart at the board blindfolded. You don't know if you're going to hit it or not. And if he does, it's going to be out longer than 2 weeks, most likely because of his condition he has. So it's almost like you mentioned a luxury pick. But if you're at the end of that third round, I'm okay with taking him and A.J. Brown. I already have two running backs. A.J. Brown is currently going as the wide receiver 16. He's going one slot ahead of Calvin Ridley. These are two guys who the hype is just growing on. And A.J. Brown, I loved him last year coming out of the draft. He was my number 1B prospect behind N'Keal Harry. Big N'Keal Harry fan. People listening to this podcast know I'm a N'Keal Harry fan. I hope, Nick, you're a N'Keal Harry fan too as a Patriots fan. You got to be a N'Keal.
I mean, he kind of crushed my heart last year.
Hey, injuries. So, that's what we're gonna break it down to. I'm going to bounce back for N'Keal Harry. But will A.J. Brown continue his insane efficiency, Dad? Are you going to bet on that?
I think he's going to continue. I mean, he had a fantastic rookie season, over 1,000 yards on less than 90 targets, yep. right? All this in midst of quarterback change, remember? So if they're from Mariota to Ryan Tannehill, week five, it's pretty impressive if you think about it, considering that Tannehill threw less than 25 passes in five starts because their offensive was built around Derrick Henry, right? They just pounded Derrick Henry in the ground, boom, boom, boom. And some of them runs he had was unbelievable. What a fantastic running back he was. So I expect A.J. Brown's fantasy value to be the same or even better than last year. I think he should have more chemistry with Tannehill. He's going to be the focal point of this passing game because there's really nobody else there. The Titans really lack a wide receiver two there, and their tight ends are simply, I mean, just average, I think. So,
how dare you say it about Jonnu Smith?
Well, I'm just – he's still got to prove himself.
He does.
He's still got to
prove Everyone's
himself.
Everyone's got to prove – so does Hayden Hurst. You want to talk about these guys.
So I don't think teams can double-team Brown because of Henry's dominance. Brown can even be in conversation as a late wide receiver one by the end of the season. So I think he's the only guy there for now till Ian Thomas shows something.
Ian Jonnu Smith. You got to get the Jonnu Smith. Right? Hey, yeah. I wish you're getting the names right today. Usually it's a name problem. I'm okay with you getting the teams wrong as you take a sip of your drink right now. But A.J. Brown, Nick, does for the advice for the people, are you telling them to take
it? So sort of, I don't know. Like, I have him ranked exactly at that 16. So, like, I have no problem if, you know, the other 15 are gone and you really want a wide receiver. I don't usually get him in mocks because – I don't view him as all that different from like Woods, who we went over, McLaurin, Lockett, Metcalf, Chark, like that whole range after him. I don't think there's a huge difference. And typically when you're at the AJ Brown pick, you're right at the end of like a really nice running back tier. And so when you look at the decision, it comes down to don't want to take AJ Brown and then whatever wide receiver or running back I guess is available in the next round, or would I rather just take the wide receiver that I don't think is all that different and get this final really nice running back. And I usually just take the running back. So I haven't gotten him a lot, but I haven't ranked right here. So, I mean, I agree with the ranking.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. And we're mainly talking to people who are in home leagues going against their friends or work buddies or whatever it may be. Some people play higher stakes with their home leagues without their friends. But A.J. Brown has the sex appeal. The name of A.J. Brown, he's like, oh, this guy lit it up last year for my teams down the stretch. I want this guy. So currently going to wide receiver 16. Wouldn't shock me to see him going ahead of there, but that's about where he's going ranked last season.
And I'm not worried about the like the efficiency because, like, sure, he'll be less efficient probably on average, but he's going to play more and he's going to get more targets. So, like, that's definitely not something you should be concerned about.
Yeah, people were worried about, especially to come back down to earth. I'm not – 84 targets last year. Give him 110 targets. Yes, just offense is still going to be run heavy because they did sign Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, 16 touchdowns last year. Yes, he's an outlier himself just because look at the guy. But he's not going to get 16 touchdowns again. They were number one efficient red zone offense scoring on, I believe, 32 out of 33 attempts or something like that, which is insane. Expect that to go back down to earth. A lot of the plays A.J. Brown also had were just long touchdowns. And if you take those away, he's going to get more targets just because of that. And he didn't really start playing in a wide receiver a starter snap share until later in the season. This season, he's the alpha. He's going to start playing those big snap shares. He's probably going to get those target shares as well. Last season, he was number one in fantasy points per route run, ahead of Michael Thomas, ahead of Devontae Adams, ahead of Tyreek Hill. So the efficiency is there. But we mentioned it's going to go probably down a little bit. But he's still an efficient player. He's a really good player. The talent is there. I'm buying him at the price. But like you mentioned, I'm taking one of those running backs at the end of that tier just because that's the way that you should be drafting because you have McLaurin and Chark later, who I mentioned earlier.
There's a lot of good wide receivers in that area, too.
Now, some dude on Twitter – I'm prefacing this. This is on that show sheet.
Jonathan Coogan's in the chat.
Yeah, Coogan's in the chat. He's the reason why I'm bringing this up. Because someone said A.J. Brown had, what was it, 8 touchdowns last year, something like 6 touchdowns last year, and D.J. Moore only had 4. So why do people like D.J. Moore so much more than A.J. Brown? Well, let me tell you. I'll start. I already went on a big rant with this. One, D.J. Moore is a beast. His prospect profile is criminally underrated right now because people are just taking it for granted. This dude, the breakout age is there.
Your love for him and Miles Sanders is out of control.
I like good players.
Out of control.
I like good players.
But go ahead, finish.
But you can't like say that they should be closer than what they really are because D.J. Moore is going to see more targets most likely. They're in the NFC South, negative game script. Like I mentioned on the podcast we did a guest on last night, they have a rookie defense and they're playing in the NFC South with Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Matt Ryan. They're going to be down a lot. Last season with Kyle Allen, outside the top 70 in catchable target percentage, you give him Teddy Bridgewater, accurate passer, nine targets a game, that's going to at least stay there. I don't care if McCaffrey's 120. We probably saw McCaffrey's best season of his career last year, which, you know, you got to take a step back and make this guy's really good. People are just taking it for granted. He's probably not going to be that good again. It's just history. You know, I don't think it's going to – you don't see running back one repeat itself since with Marshall Faulk in 2004, something like that. But DJ Moore is a lot better than A.J. Brown right now in fantasy, especially because of the run-heavy and the pass-heavy. Carolina, second in pass attempts per game last year. Would you agree with me, Nick, that DJ Moore is a better wide receiver than A.J. Brown?
I mean, yeah.
See, thank you. And John in the chat, he likes Miles Sanders, but not DJ Moore. You are taking DJ Moore for granted, John, in chat. See, if you guys come and listen to this podcast on Apple, wherever you're listening to, make sure you subscribe. But we also do this shows live on Twitter at FodderSonFF. You can see the shows here and type in the chat and talk to us. Because I'll respond and say, you're wrong. Because DJ Moore is that guy. Now, I'm a DJ Moore guy. Big Miles Sanders guy. Also a big pizza guy. I love pizza. I could eat pizza almost every day of the week. So, favorite pizza topping, Nick? Not on the show sheet. This is, yeah. See, you can get, see, this is tough.
I'm a chicken parm pizza guy. Oh. I know it's a little weird, but I like just getting the chicken on the pizza.
Yeah, see, chicken on a pizza is always a move. I like barbecue chicken. I have had chicken parm pizza as well. And if it's the breaded, that makes it a lot better. Some people just put the grilled chicken on it. It's not the same. You got to get the breaded chicken. That's an underrated topping right there. But my favorite topping is pepperoni. I like the classic pepperoni. You can't go wrong with it. But if you're feeling a little adventurous, chicken on pizza. People like
Buffalo chicken.
Buffalo chicken's overrated. The more I think about it, it's just overrated. People always, well, at least in upstate New York, people are like, oh, Buffalo chicken's the best. Well, hold on a second. It's not really the best pizza. It's just not. It's good. I'm not saying it's not good, but it's more of like a mood dependent thing. I don't want to, like, I like to enjoy the flavor of pizza. I feel like Buffalo chicken is just, it's just hot, which is, I guess, is like what you want, but like, you got to branch out, get a chicken parm pizza sometimes.
I like just like a tomato slices on it too.
Ooh, that's the
just tomato. Maybe you can put onion too, but
ooh,
I like tomatoes.
I gotta try a tomato on pizza. I've seen pictures. All these girls post on their Instagram stories, post pictures of tomatoes on pizza. I'm like, you know what? Kind of basic, but maybe I gotta try it sometime because it does look good for sure. On Twitter, Darius Geis posting these workout videos. You see that segue? That's a good segue. Now, you're not interested in Darius Geis because you have recency bias. Everyone was out on Leonard Fournette because he got hurt. He couldn't stay healthy. He hasn't been hurt since 2018. And last season, you saw what he can do when he's motivated. Darius Geis, been motivated. I like him as a player. I like him as a prospect profile. You said last night, I can't talk about his prospect profile because he's in the league for 3 years. Well, guess what? He's been injured, so we can't really base it off his performance. But if you want to base it off his performance, five total games, I don't care. Darius Geis, really talented. What are you doing with Darius Geis in drafts, Nick? He's going as a running back 33 right now. That's almost free for his upside.
Yeah, I mean, I got him at 25.
Look at that.
Exactly what you said. Yes. Like, he's probably like the most likely player in the league to bust. I mean, the bad offensive line, all the injuries. But if you look at success rate after like the fifth round, it's minimal. Like it falls off a cliff. So if I'm looking at players, I want pure upside. I don't really care if he only plays one game because if he plays 16 games, he's probably a running back one. And you can't really say that about any other running back in the 30s. Maybe when you get into the 20s with like, I don't know, like this. I don't know where Swift is going. Swift could be a running back one. When you get into the range of Geis, it's so much upside. Like, I'm not worried about Gibson. Gibson's not going to do anything. Love's not going to do anything. Peterson's, I don't know. They only use Peterson to back up Geis when he gets hurt. So it's Geis all the way, I think.
Yeah, Peterson, Darius Geis got cleared for a 2020 season yesterday, July 27th. Record is on the 28th, I think. I'm not really good with dates. It could be the 28th. Who knows? But I'm going to tell the people that. They won't even know if it's true or not. But he got cleared for the season. We're going to have Matthew Betts, our fantasy PTU we've had on every single year. We're going to talk about Darius Geis and his injuries.
That's a fantastic show. If you guys out there listening want to know something about injuries and stuff.
And what to do with these players.
That's the show you definitely want to
watch.
He's
probably going to say that this is not a guy I'm taking because of the injury history, but the upside is there. And at running back 33 price, you just can't beat it. Dad, I want to hear why you don't like this guy. Because I really can't think of a reason why other than the fact, he hasn't stayed healthy.
But I like where he's going. Like Nick said, he's going to around 33.
Exactly. I mean, you don't think he has top 15 upside?
Top 15, no.
If he plays 16 games, he's not going to be top 15?
If he plays 16.
If he plays 12 games.
Listen, he's had some monstrous games at LSU.
Exactly.
Right, since being drafted by Washington. that goes back to for me to that. Five games.
Okay.
Five games is all he played, right? If he was to play all 16 games this year, would he be something?
Like Fournette. He's not healthy until he's healthy.
The only problem I have is it's a crowded backfield here. You got it's Peterson, not. Barber.
No, Masinic is there.
It's crowded. And now Antonio Gibson, which I don't think he's going to be a big value this year, but moving forward, I think he's the guy. The Redskins also ran the ball the fewest times in the NFL. Geis is still only 23, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Skins should give him every opportunity, and they're going to be the lead back this season. It's his job to win or lose. If he can stay healthy, I think it's a great value at pick 33. The Skins, like Nick said, are still going to have a terrible offense.
It's the Washington Professional Football Team,
which is not. Yeah. It's the Washington Football Club. It's not going to help Geis out at all with this offense. He's a talented player. He's injury prone.
Very, very talented.
On one of the worst teams in football, but at his price, I guess he's okay.
An allegedly tough question in the chat: Sony Michel, David Johnson, or David Montgomery? Who are you taking out of the three? Easy choice for me. That's David Johnson. What about you, Dad?
David Johnson, Montgomery will be second. I love Montgomery.
You do love Montgomery, but you're David Johnson. For you, Nick?
I don't think there's even a case for Sony Michel in comparison to those
Sonny
two.
Michael. Yeah. I mentioned it before. The thing they had this fan calling him Sonny Michael. Sonny Michael, not good. I like Damian Harris. He also had foot surgery in May, so I don't know how his recovery time with that is. But Darius Geis. You see it year over year with people who tear their ACL. They're more susceptible to supplementary injuries such as MCL sprains and whatnot. And he suffered that. He had an MCL sprain, missed his game, tore his meniscus, not that good. So that left knee is not good. That's why I'm excited to talk to Matt about his knee and his outlook for 2020. He got cleared more than a year removed from his ACL tear, which is a good sign for a running back like that. And he's a better prospect than Leonard Fournette. I like Fournette as a prospect, but you look at Darius Geis' profile, best comparable player on player profiler is Ezekiel Elliott. And that's
what he did in college was unbelievable.
Exactly. He's got the speed score, which is important for running backs. He's got the production as well. And Peterson is there. I believe they're going to give Peterson the split carries with him until Geis is 100% healthy. So by week four, Geis is taking it over. He's a running back there. And I like players that are confident in their ability, and they'll show it. So quote unquote, he said, "When healthy, ain't nobody fucking with me. Tired of being nice, y'all gonna see." And I like a player that has that mindset. It is. He responded to the haters on Twitter. He's one of those guys that does not give a single crap.
Good.
And he is a
he will.
That's good.
He definitely will. So Darius Geis rooting for him. Like, I want him to be healthy. I really hope he is healthy because he's a fun player to watch when he is healthy.
As a 33rd running back off the board, it's a great pick. And then if he hits, you're golden if he hits.
Yeah. And before we get you out of here, Nick. You mentioned you had a bold prediction. I believe it's going to be music to my ears. So I'm excited to hear this one. What is your bold prediction for a 2020 season?
Yeah, so I think DJ Moore will be a top three wide receiver. Yeah, so I think DJ Moore will be a top three wide receiver this season.
Three?
Yeah, we're going bold. So if we look at last season, he's 22 years old last year with mostly Kyle Allen at quarterback. His 16-week pace was 98 receptions, almost 1,350 yards, and only the 4.5 touchdowns, but we know touchdowns are relatively random. So under the circumstances he had, he gets an upgrade at quarterback. He enters his third year. He's only 23 years old. I just think, like, people say, can he be a wide receiver one? Like, he already was. Like, he was producing at that level. And then you look at what they're going to do this season. They have, like, one of the worst defenses in the league. They're clearly the worst team in their division. So they're going to be playing from behind in the majority of their games. Their new offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, he ran up tempo at LSU. I just think they're going to run a lot of plays, and those plays are going to have to be pass plays because they're not going to be winning. And they're not going to be winning very quickly with how bad their defense is. So I think he's an exceptional pick this season.
Oh, I love it. I tweet out today, DJ Moore is going to outscore DeAndre Hopkins, and it shouldn't be surprising to anyone. Dad, who do you have between DJ Moore and DeAndre Hopkins? We haven't done a table bet today.
No, it'd be DJ Moore. I don't
really?
Like,
okay, we'll see.
Hopkins is still an elite wide receiver, but changing teams, going...
Wouldn't surprise
me. There's a lot of mouths to feed over there. I'd take DJ Moore.
I think DJ Moore has potential to outscore Davante Adams. And that's a bold one, but I'm in lockstep with you, Nick. I love DJ Moore. The bold prediction is there. Top three wide receiver, definitely bold, but it's also plausible because this guy is just good at football. All the reasons. I'm not a good writer. I really, like, in school and stuff, I'm not good at writing essays and stuff. But let me tell you, I could write an essay about DJ Moore and why he's just a very good wide receiver. And we got John Cookin saying cap in the chat. And Dad, you don't know what that means. That means he thinks we're just bluffing. We're not telling the truth to him. But let me tell you, DJ Moore is for real, and he's ready
to
prove
it. You could
write
an essay on Miles Sanders and how you didn't pick him in the Scotty Fish Bowl.
Okay, we're not talking about
that.
You could
write a long essay on that.
That's deserving our time. But
I'd even read it for you.
Nick, where can people find you on Twitter, and what do you do in this fantasy industry if they don't know or are not subscribed to your YouTube channel?
Yeah, it's Nick Zylak FFA on Twitter. And then YouTube is mainly where you can find me, Fantasy Football Advice. We do post every video as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and it's just Fantasy Football Advice Podcast there. But that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Definitely go do that. Check out the YouTube channel. If you're not already subscribed to that, check out the podcast. If you guys made it this far into the episode, subscribe if you made it. Amari Cooper signed jersey giveaway is happening this Sunday, I believe.
That's right. You guys, you don't have much time left. There it is. I don't know if Dan's in the running for that thing, but there it is, signed.
He's definitely in the running for it, but Mark, we're a great player. Make sure you get your entries in for that.
Not much time left. Get them entries in.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back with another episode later this week. If you guys know one thing to take away from it, other than drafting DJ Moore, is pepperoni pizza is the way to go. Unless you want to mix
parm.
It up. Chicken parm pizza is also
we gotta try
a good
chicken parm.
And buffalo chicken pizza is overrated. That's going to do it for us, and we'll see you guys next time.
See you.